My name is Veronica, and I'm a compulsive gambler. My recovery date is June 19th, 2021, and so I am, in fact, a Zoom baby. And so I also have 18 years in recovery in Alcoholics Anonymous, and which GA has really enhanced that recovery as well. And I will tell you how I did it, and that's kind of where I wanted to start, is why I got here, how I got here, and what I've done to stay here. And so I got here, and I will tell you that I crawled in here just ruined. I was, oh, I'm even getting emotional, but I crawled in here, and honestly, I came here an emotional wreck, financially wrecked, and spiritually, and just bankrupted in many ways, and not just financially. And when I got here, I, you know, even knowing that I had a recovery in another program, that it was still difficult to get here. And I think the reason that was is that I really didn't think that, you know, and looking back at it now, I know that it was that I didn't think my higher power would grant me another recovery. And so he has proven me wrong, which I'm grateful for. And so I was pretty messed up. And so one of my friends that in AA said, "How come you don't go to a meeting?" And I said, "Well," I said, "there's no meetings. It's COVID. Come on." And so he knew of these Zoom meetings, and I hadn't done any kind of meeting, not even AA meetings. And so he said, so all I saw was he got my phone and he got me into a meeting. And I remember still fighting it, like telling him, "Oh no, you know, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to Zoom, blah, blah, blah." And so he got me in a meeting, and I stayed in that meeting. And that meeting happened to be in San Diego. And from that meeting, they introduced me to the San Diego International meetings, and that's kind of where I have been this whole time. And so I started there, and Don, as a witness, he was there for the very beginning of it. And so he has seen my whole recovery this whole time. And so I have to real he's making me accountable today. So I got in here, and I remember just still kind of I remember my first meeting. I didn't say too much, and they had me say something. You know, I had to introduce myself. They read me the 20 questions. I think I answered yes to 16, and since then it has changed dramatically. Yeah, and you know, so I knew I belonged here. There was no doubt about it. And I remember these people just telling me, "Keep coming back, keep coming back." And I thought to myself, "I don't even want to come back. Like, I don't think this is gonna work." And so I kept listening to that. And I don't remember being this desperate. As a matter of fact, I wasn't. When I went into AA, it was not like this at all. I went in to shut up a bunch of people, my husband and my mom at that time, who kept telling me stuff about my drinking and what I was doing and all that. And so this time, it really just affected me. My husband's finances at that time, we were separated, so were our finances. So I didn't affect anybody's finances but my own. But this addiction has gotten me like to the real demoralization stuff. This disease made me come in here, and where my answer was only suicide. I didn't know what else to do except for that, to just make that pain and the anxiety, stress, all that stuff just go away. There was no way I was going to be able to pay back all this money I had, you know, gambled, and or to shut my brain off from telling me, "You know what? go place that bet. It's your lucky day. Today's your day. I could hear it just telling me all the time. And all the time I'd come out of there just losing my tail and coming home, beating up my steering wheel, crying on the way home, not being able to sleep. My mind just going, when can I get back to the casino? Endless, just endless. I couldn't focus on work because all I could think about, and I'm a workaholic, and I couldn't focus on work because all I kept thinking is, I need to get out of here so I could go make some money at the casino, which I never did. And even if I did, I just put it back in. I'm sure we all are familiar with that. Most of us are. And so it was an endless thing, and I couldn't make it go away. And I remember my husband asking me one time, he said, "Hey," he goes, "are you okay?" And I said, "Oh yeah, I'm good," as I'm going to the casino, right? And but even by then I had already knew that I was already, in it. And I just remember telling him, "Yeah, I'm good, I'm good." And he's like, "Are you sure?" And I'm like, "Yeah." But he already like knows the signs, right? He was with me the whole time before I got into recovery in AA. And so he kind of knows my behaviors. And so once I got into this meeting and in both recoveries, and I'm not saying this that like to boast or anything, it just has been through my higher power that I have been very fortunate to come into these rooms and never have to go back. I do feel like when I started gambling, I felt like there was a relapse of some sort. From not really like I didn't drink or anything, but I just felt like I disconnected from my fellows and from recovery period. And had I not done that, I might not even got into gambling, but I feel like I really needed this recovery to kind of enhance my recovery as it is today. And so when I got here, like I said, I struggled to come into these rooms. It took me about a day 28, and I remember it very, very well because on day 27, I was about to, what I felt was sign my way to like the devil or something. I had been offered a bailout. And I had no clue about bailouts. I had read about it, but never really thought what a bailout meant. And an older gentleman at that time, was offering me to bail me out. And like I said, I don't, this is what I do know is that I was still under a lot of stress on how am I going to pay this money back and still trying to get recovery. At the time, I was taking care of my mom too, who had Alzheimer's at the time. And so I was just really stressed out. And so I was about to take this bailout, and he said something to me that made me feel very uncomfortable. And so then I like said, you know what? I got to go. And I just sat in my car and I cried and I cried and I cried. And I just asked God to like help me through this recovery. You did it for me once, one more time. And so you know what? I remember day 28 going to that meeting and I just felt better. And I remember talking to Don, okay, how can I be of service? So in AA, that's all I did, a lot of service work. And I had what we called in AA a service sponsor. And so he got me into meetings or into service work quickly in my recovery. He would tell me, show up to this meeting. And I would say, okay. So I'd go. And then he'd say, okay, raise your hand because you're going to volunteer to do this. I used to call him the choo-choo train because he was always volunteering me to do stuff. But, as I know it today, he saved my life. And so, and he told me, like, he kept telling me, that people in recovery who are of service have a higher percentage of staying in recovery. And so, I don't know how true that is, but I'll just have to say that it has worked. And so I started bugging Don. Don, let me host the meeting. Let me do something, And Don was like, "No, not yet," and I bugged so much. I think he even decided, "Okay, I'll let you like start by co-hosting." And I'm like, "Okay." And so then I started co-hosting, and right away after that, I got a sponsor right away, and I got busy because I knew that that's what I needed to do. That's what helped me in AA, and so I was gonna just do it again. And so I got in. And I started working it. About, I want to say, several months into my recovery, my sponsor went out. And I was like, okay, now what do I do? And so I wasn't used to being without a sponsor. So I was like, okay, now I got a little nervous. I talked to some people, can I have my AA sponsor? Because I still had my AA sponsor, and everybody kind of just said, no, try to get someone in GA. And so I got a temporary sponsor for that, and worked the steps and have worked the steps, and just I sponsor women today. It has been such a pleasure and such an honor to sponsor a lot of women in these meetings. And some people stay and some people don't, and that's okay too. And I'll tell you that those women have really saved my tail a lot of times. They make me look at myself. They make me look at my recovery. They make me walk the walk, so to speak. And so they also help me grow in my recovery too. And so those women have been really, really important in my life, and as well as service work has done for me. And I'll tell you that stuff has happened through this recovery. And one of the things that I would like to mention is that, the reason I was able to come into another disease is that I was probably about 8 years in recovery in AA, and I had a boyfriend that passed away. And I went into an AA meeting, and I shared about it. And so I had a guy that was about over 25 years of recovery. And so after the meeting, he runs out and he tells me, "Hey, Veronica," he goes, "this is kind of like a newcomers meeting. We want to share about how we got here, how we do it, blah, blah." And I was like, "Excuse me?" And so I looked at him and I said, "I thought this is where we come when our tail's falling off." And so he's like, "Yeah, but And so I called my sponsor at that time, and I bawled my head out, and I said, "You know what? I vowed to never go to an AA meeting again." And so the reason I'm telling you this story for anybody that gives up on any kind of fellowship program that helps us in recovery is that don't let anybody keep you out of meetings. Nobody is worth it. And that person is human. And I remember my sponsor telling me, he's human. He could, maybe he that's not how he met it. And I'm like, "No, I'm out." I was so hurt. And I'm already an emotional train wreck, but I could see that today. I could tell you I could see that today, that we misspeak. We do, and it doesn't matter how many years of recovery we have, we still mess up. And and he probably didn't even know what kind of effect it had on me, right? But that's the kind of effect. I let somebody keep me away from the rooms and that fellowship. And once I did that, it was over. Sorry, but all bets were off at that time. And so what had happened is that I was grieving. I was out of work because of a work injury, so I was bored. Like I said, I'm a workaholic, and when I don't have things to do, I go find something to do. And it started fun and games, going to a casino here and there. And then it became an eventful thing. I started going every week, and then, I remember my best friend because she's the one that used to go with me. Our casino wasn't in a very nice area. And she would tell me, please don't ever come alone. I'd be like, heck no, I'm never coming here alone. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I was there all hours of night in the midst of the morning, And so, yeah, I became very risky about where I was and alone. I remember turning off my GPS so my family wouldn't know where I was at. And which today I think that was so goofy is that, they knew exactly where I was at. I do have still a couple amends that I need to make to my son that he used to watch my mom for me because, like I told you, I had my mom living with me and she had Alzheimer's. And so I had a lady that worked while I was at work. However, if I took longer because I went to the casino and took a little longer at the casino, I'd call my son and say, hey, can you back me up? I'm at work still. And, lied, flat out lied to him. And so I still have to make that amends. And since I'm out here in Tennessee, maybe I'll take the time to do that. But yeah, I became that liar again. I became secretive again. All these old characteristics started coming out again, and I was just like, oh God, here I am miserable again. And so I could tell you that the way I got out of that misery is that I started getting to work again. And I did the steps again. I'm currently doing the steps again with one of my sponsees. We have already been through writing the steps. And so now both of us together are doing, working the steps. And so, like I said, I'm usually really busy in recovery if I'm not speaking to somebody. Right now, I'm currently just hosting one meeting while I'm out here in Tennessee. I host the Tuesday night women's meeting, which will be later on today, and it will be on, it's 5 o'clock in California time. And so I'll host that today. And I host a Monday night meeting that I have one of my sponsees helping me out while I'm out here in Tennessee because it kind of puts me out here after the meeting about midnight, and I am a early bird, so it gives me about maybe 4 hours of sleep. And so I just kind of I at first I was doing it, and then I have decided that that's probably not the best thing I could do. It's not fair to people in recovery because I don't feel like I'm a good host at that time. I think that, I tend to be too tired to host and to participate in the meeting. So I decided, you know what, I shouldn't be doing that to everybody in the meeting. So I said, you know what, I could step down from it and come back when I'm in California. And so, that's kind of how I've been doing it. I didn't, I have, I'll tell you that today I have true freedom. I talked to Denise about freedom today, and it is true freedom. I don't think I felt this way in AA, and I could tell you that today I really understand why they say I am a grateful, recovered and compulsive gambler. And the reason for that today, I can tell you, is that I didn't feel this way in AA. And I think one of the reasons that I didn't is that we did, I did the steps one time in my recovery. And I wasn't, I think I was 14 years in recovery when I did them here in GA. And so, that's a long time. But I could tell you that the knowledge that I had from that recovery to this recovery, I was even able to put some of that AA stuff that I missed in this four step and anything else that I needed to do. And so I was able to be a little more thorough. And Even some of the things that I might have touched on and really didn't make an amends to it, or really didn't get into the acceptance of it or knowing my part. And so I could tell you today that the knowledge that I had from previous years in recovery and today, and the relationship that I have with my higher power is amazing. And I could sit with myself today. There was a time that I could not be alone. I was scared to be alone. There's still a lot of noise. The committee's still there. I don't, you know, I, but you know what? It's easier to tone it down a little bit today. And you know what? One of the biggest things that keeps me here today is, or what I chased before in AA was the promises. And if nobody has ever heard them, please look them up. Promises of AA. They are what I have chased in my recovery, and that has kept me sober and has kept me bet free. Is that today I could tell you that all those promises have come true, and that I just keep doing this one day at a time, with my higher power, and just keep, being of service and getting into these meetings and sponsoring people. And again, with that higher power, I couldn't do this by myself. So thank you very much for letting me share.
Yay! Thank you so very much. Wow, you sound so much like me when I first started here. I had no clue as to what freedom really meant because I didn't know who I was. I had no clue, you know. But once I started understanding that powerlessness isn't what you think, because in my world, it was always self-sufficiency. It was always I was in control. I was taught that growing up. You are in control. You are in control of your own destiny. That's what I was taught. But in this disease, you've got to be powerless. Because powerless means that you stop fighting. You stop trying to tackle it. You can't stand toe to toe with it. That was wonderful. I really enjoyed that. I really did. All right, Yolanda.
Hi, my name is Yolanda. I'm a very grateful, compulsive gambler. The date I protect is 10, 13, 25. And I, like you, am a AA member. And my question is, do you have an AA sponsor and a GA sponsor, or do you just have one sponsor?
Yeah, I'm muted.
Thank you. Thank you, Yolanda. So right now at this time, I do just have my AA sponsor. She has been my sponsor since, oh gosh, I've had her my whole, I've only had one other sponsor in AA. And so since I was about 6 months in AA, I've had her. So I'm talking about 18 years already. And so yes, one sponsor for now. And I do have about three mentors here in GA that I always go to. They're my go-to people when I need help, and I do need help, trust me.
Thank you.
All right, Don.
Hey, Don A. Compulsive Gambler. You know, when I heard through Marius that you were the speaker, it said Veronica M. in parentheses San Diego. I had to like confirm that if there's another Veronica M. in San Diego, but it was her, and I'm so glad that she was a speaker today. So I joined. Yes, Veronica has been part of the San Diego National for very early on. The stories that she was telling. But you know what? We had one person that was pretty much leading the meeting every night. You know, that's sacrifice. And I think he slowly let go of a Tuesday meeting for young adults and then a meditation meeting on Wednesday. And he can't let me have a meeting until his wife finally told him we need a date night, and he gave me Saturday night. But as he was fading away, I had to ask the group. I go, "You guys want to have all these other meetings, and we need leaders." And maybe that's why I had a little bit of pressure to try to find people to cover it. Yeah, Veronica was very willing, and she's taken on two meetings. Bless her heart. And I know that's what's kept her in service. Many times I've said, "Hey, let's help. Let me help you find somebody to cover one of your meetings." And she would chew me out. Says, "No, I got these, Don." But yeah, now that she commutes to Tennessee now and then, it is kind of late to do a meeting. And see that she's so concerned about coming across well and being alert, even though it might be midnight for her, because she says she's an early bird. But I think that woman's meeting works out really well for you. It's really grown in several years. And I think, I know I attribute you to being one that has helped a lot of women in the program. And I really applaud you for that. And I got to add this, she's always willing to help out. And about 3 years ago, I wanted to go visit my family in Northern California. And Veronica right away said, "Come on, I'll drive you there." She loves driving. But I go, "It's cheaper. We'll just fly up there, we'll get a rental car." So we were there for a week, and she did all the driving. We ate good. She got to meet my sister and my brother and sister, and they really loved you, Veronica, and I really appreciate that. But she was so dedicated to service that when we flew back, she had a meeting at 5 o'clock, and she couldn't wait for a
Okay.
person to give us a ride. She called an Uber to take us home so she could do her meeting by 5 o'clock. That's how dedicated this lady is. And to this day, I still love her. I try to invite her to picnics. She comes down when she can. It's kind of a long haul. But Veronica, to tell you the truth, I didn't go to the picnic this year either. And so I think Walt was the only one that went. Anyway, enough out of me. I really love you. I appreciate your story. Thank you.
All right, Catherine.
Hey, Veronica. I'm so sorry I'm late, but I got the best part. I got to hear you at the end. You're a wonderful sponsor and a mentor, and I just love your service work and your enthusiasm, and I love how you're always willing to go above and beyond and help anybody in this program and to just shine your light. And I just want to congratulate you on your time. And I'm so proud to be your friend, and I can't wait to see you.
All right. Has anybody got their hands up? Because I can't see. All right. Anybody else? Oh, okay. I got a question. Oh, okay. Go ahead, George.
Hi, Veronica. Thank you very much for that chair. Very nice to see you again. Rest of the room. The one thing I just felt while you're talking is that you lead a life in the program and you lead a life out of the program. Do you feel that way, or do you feel you're more of one than the other? And if you don't want to answer a question, that's okay too. But most importantly, I'm glad to see you and I love you. Thank you.
Oh, George, it's great to see you. And I love you too. I miss you. You know what, George? It's funny that you ask. Of course, I try to do it inside and out of the rooms. And I'll be honest with you, but I do struggle at home and I do struggle at work. And so, but I'll tell you that since I've been in GA, those struggles have definitely become easier. And what I mean by that, it's easier to I do stuff like hand over mouth, or I chanting stuff to myself where I need to maybe rethink something, or I say something to whoever is triggering me, I'm gonna say, to old behaviors is that I always have to maybe I need a timeout or something like that. Or sometimes you know what? It comes out, but I know that that 10th step is there, and so I'm promptly admitting it. And sometimes it takes me a little longer than other times to come out and say, yeah, I was wrong or I wronged you. But, I do try to do it because I'll tell you one of the things that I don't want to carry that baggage no more. I am so sick and tired of carrying baggage. And so I really try to get rid of it as soon as I can. So thank you, George, for that question.
You're always helpful. You're always helping. Always. Thanks again. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Dan, did you have your hand up?
You saw my hand. I put it up so quickly and took it down so fast. Wow, Denise, you see everything. Yes, I did. Yes. Thank you so much for seeing that for me. Dan H., Compulsive Gambler. Denise, thank you so much for hosting today. And I'm so glad you're back in on Tuesdays and helping us here. And also, George C. is now our host on Sundays. He's recently been appointed to that position. And talking about service, which you mentioned a lot today, Veronica. And I know that's so important in our recovery, is giving back. Gratitude, service, prayers, meditation, all, everything that I've been told, these meetings are just to get a little closer to our higher power and to stop gambling and find a better way of life and not dealing with all this stuff. So I had no idea you had so much service behind you as well, Veronica. And that's beautiful. It's always nice to see people coming together and helping others. It's just beautiful. And when I was out there gambling, I was doing the best I could, but I, there's so much you can do when I'm gambling. And it wasn't helping, that's for sure. It was actually the opposite. So I'm so grateful that I'm here today for this. Now, I had a question for you, and I ask this a lot, just because it's something I'm interested in myself. So I don't necessarily need to know what the issue was that you maybe had some issues with. I mean, getting past or struggling with trying to get through a certain step or a certain level to get to. More importantly, how did you deal with that situation, and how did you get past it and moved on? Thank you.
Are we talking about the situation that I had with the AA or?
Well, any difficult situation,
Oh,
any
any
difficulty that you
difficult
had that
situations.
you found very difficult or had, a little big hump to get over, how did you do it? How did you manage to get past it and get to the other side? Because I think it's
So,
important for us.
okay, so I'm gonna give an example of when I got in here, as I had told you guys that I was taking care of my mom. And so I told you that I was struggling trying to keep an eye on her. At the time I was working about 10-hour shifts. If anybody knows California, there's traffic. And so I was probably away from home. I gotta say a good 14 hours a day. And so still coming home, tending to a house, making dinner and taking care of my mom and all that. But once I had got the lady to come into my home and help with my mom, that became a lot easier. But it just became easier also to go out and gamble. I was her power of attorney. And so my sister one day had called me, and I was so just fed up. Nobody was helping me at the time other than the lady that I was coming in to help me while I was at work, and my son that was helping me too. And by that time, my sister, she was coming over every other Saturday. That stopped because she had a surgery. And my daughter stopped coming too, so I didn't have any kind of help. And so honestly, I swear I my mom had broken her shoulder, so I was waking up at night like 3 or 4 times a day, and so I was losing sleep. So I felt like I was really going insane. And here I am trying to get to meetings, and my mom has to take like 5 pee breaks in the 2 hours I'm trying to get recovery. And so I am frustrated. And to be honest with you, no recovery, there was no recovery. So I didn't know how to deal with it. My sister called my other sister, which she said, I will not help. The only thing I will do is help financially. That's it. And so she called and she said, "How you doing?" And I'm like, I'm about to put a pillow over her face, but I'm good. And so that really rubbed her the wrong way. She really like took it literally. And so she rushed right over. And she came over and she's like, "Well, I think I'm going to take my mom for a week." And so she did, and then she decided she was going to keep her. And so she's like, "I think I'm just going to keep her for another month or something." And in that month, she has money, so she got an attorney. She took. By the way, my mom was in no shape or form to be signing any kind of paperwork, but she said that my mom asked her to do it. And so she took me off of the power of attorney, everything. And so I was like, what the hell? And so this whole time, mind you, I am praying to God, "God, please help me with my mom. I am to my wits and I don't know what to do anymore. I'm trying to get recovery and I just can't, and I'm feeling like I'm just going crazy in my head. Lack of sleep, tired from working, just everything is just, my finances, everybody's calling me about, money I owe them and all that other jazz. And so like I said, I feel like I'm going to sin. And so I was really upset when it happened. As a matter of fact, I had no recovery, so the first thing my feelings were hurt, and so I got pissed. That's the only way I could tell you is that that's all I knew. From hurt to pissed. And which I learned in recovery before, that's not where I need to be. But here I was again. And so it took me about 2 weeks, maybe a month, to finally realize that God was doing for me what I could not do for myself. And once I was able to do that, I can tell you guys that. That hurt and that all that pain that I had felt that my sister had kind of like betrayed me, all that stuff just has gone away. And like I said, it is such a blessing to be free from all that. And so I could tell you that today I just really lean on my higher power to get me out of any bind. I can't do this by myself, guys. So thank you very much for your question, Dan.
That's a beautiful answer, as a matter of fact, Veronica. I can relate to that 100%. Higher power, prayers, meditation. So when something doesn't go your way, it doesn't go my way, what is the steps? Do you call someone? Do you reach out? Do you pray? Do you do gratitude? Do you go out to help someone? There's so many things that can be done besides having to go out and escape, because that's the easy part. Anybody can go out and escape from this stuff. It's staying present and dealing with the situation that's in front of us. That's the difficult part. So you've mentioned prayer, you mentioned connection, you mentioned the program, you mentioned the steps, you mentioned your sponsor. Those are the places you go to when things get tough. Is there any other place that you can think of? And then I think we had one more hand up.
I'll be real honest with you, but my husband has been a really good source that we have been separated for the amount of time that I have been in recovery. They say don't do anything in that first year. Well, I was young in recovery and I said, "Oh, I'm out." It was just easier to run and than to try to fix it all. And so, and to be honest, I didn't ever think that I could repair that relationship. And I learned about 4 years in my recovery that I could mend it. And even today, I could tell you that I am, I'm amazed at what a wonderful man he is. And several times in GA, I've gone and asked, like, "How come you guys aren't together?" And so, just so you know that. After 18 years, we actually renewed our vows this Saturday, and it is like this is God's work, not mine. So, just to let you know, promises God, it's just amazing. So, thank you.
Oh, congratulations.
That's beautiful.
Congratulations. Promises do work. They do. They
Thank you.
absolutely do. What I found out is that you have to be obedient. You
That's
have to
right.
follow the rules. Okay, who's next?
Well, there was a hand up. Did you happen to see that one?
It
Oh,
was Yolanda.
It was Yolanda. Okay, beautiful.
Go ahead,
Sorry,
Yolanda.
host tricks.
Yeah, but let me find Yolanda because I think we have some controls in place. Yolanda,
I
move.
just have a quick thing to say. I didn't say that I enjoyed your story, Veronica. It was so real and it was so down to earth, and I could relate. It was so relatability and all that. So I just want to say thank you for your story today. You really helped me.
Yep.
Thank you, Yolanda. I appreciate that.
Yep, I agree. I agree. You know, I don't have a woman's group that I go to yet. I was going to one on here, so I got to find a woman's group to go to. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. My question was, I'm in a quandary about something. How important is writing the steps? I mean, if you've already got the substance and the meaning and the understanding of what the steps. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Don. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Hey, no, Denise, I wish you would just finish. I know the importance of writing the steps versus not writing. And some people use that as an excuse. Oh, I don't like to write, so I'm not going to do the steps. It's up to each individual. But Veronica's mentioned the one prayer that she loves to hear whenever she's at a meeting. I like to she asked us if we can read that. And so if it's okay with the group, I'm going to read the promises just for you, Veronica. And it's so damn true. You quote it all the time. Anyway, here goes. If we are painstaking about the phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We're going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurities will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are working for us. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, but they will always materialize if we work for them. Thank you for letting me read that and reminding me about the promises do come true.
Amen, amen, amen. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. And they do, they do. Well, I like to say, you have to work for them. You have to work for it. He gives us freedom, but we give ourselves the right to be free. So, yeah, my question, like Don, like, he know what I was asking. Do you have to write the steps to become free? I'm free. You know, I genuinely understand what they mean. But you know, I hear people say all the time that you have to write. I write profusely. I write all the time. I write about myself. So I write when I'm in a pickle. I write that down, how it makes me feel, what I'm going through. And I find that when I write them, it's self-analyzing. And then I can find out what I need to know. And then I can put that on paper and it soothes me. I'm healing myself because I'm understanding what's going on inside. But how important is writing the steps as opposed to acknowledging what the step is doing?
So this is like I said, I'm going to through round three of the steps. And so for me, every time I write them, there's something different that I learn. And every time that I go through them with somebody, it actually I learn something different too. And so I have had the privilege of working with sponsees that have either reading and writing how do you say that? Disabilities. And so I have been able to, one of my, I had a sponsee that couldn't do that. And so I had told her that I would help her. And what I did is that I read with her. I read everything out for her. I sent her books. And we actually, we met in GA. But she had a narcotics problem also, and so she asked me to be her sponsor in Alcoholics Anonymous, and I was like, "Why would you want to do that?" And I said, "You're not even an alcoholic." And so she said, "Well, I know that that's where you've done your steps." And so I said, "Yeah, well," I said, "why don't we do this?" I said, "I'll get the books and I'll do NA with you," because that's where she was going also, is NA and GA. And so I had already knew that she couldn't read or write, and so I said, "I'll get the books, I'll read the material to you, and I will ask you the questions, and I will write them down for you." And so the reason I'm getting like really emotional about that is that she passed away. And so and I still have all her work. And so I'm the type of sponsor, so I got somebody to show me how to do the steps one way, right? In AA. But I have no problems in working with someone that needs the steps some other way, right? And so for me, writing them helps me, because then I can write down exactly what I'm feeling that time, that day, and then running it through somebody else, like a sponsor, then they input in it, and then I get again something different, right? And then I could say, okay, well, I didn't think of that. I had a sponsee, I think it's question 11, and I believe that it talks about if I had ever sold myself, sorry, excuse me, let me, if I had, I forget it anyway, what, I forget what the question is, my apologies, but it was something to the effect of, did I like sell something, I think it was. And so really what I did is she made me look that she had sold herself to like the devil, and I thought, oh my God, so did I. But that's not how I answered 11, right? Is that I didn't steal, or I didn't, I felt like I didn't answer that question right. So it gave me a chance to revisit that. And I told her, I said, you know what? I'm going to rewrite that question. And when I meet with you the next time, I'm going to go through it with you with my answer. So,
Right.
like I said, if it wasn't for that sponsor to say that, I probably wouldn't have even revisited it. But yeah, for me, writing them gives me an opportunity to again learn and explore. And what did they say here that, what the like more will be revealed, and that's what I'm finding out, is that every time I go through a step, write it, read it, it doesn't matter, I still learn something about it, and especially going through it with somebody else. So thank you, Denise.
Absolutely. That's beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. Now that gives me a more balanced understanding of why they're important, because the answers change. As I change, so will my answer. Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. That's clarity. All right, everybody. Anybody else want to ask this beautiful woman, this knowledgeable person, any questions? Let's get some information while we all can. Okay. Okay.
So,
V.
Hi, Denise. Long time no see. Hi, everybody. Hi. Hi, Veronica. Good to see you again. Hi. Yeah, I don't have any question for you, but just say great to hear you share again. And you've gone on miles and miles and miles. You know, really good to hear again. You know, and
Are
I
you?
learned so much. You know, the sharing, and I identify with with that question. Have you seen anything? You know, I also say I sold my soul to the devil. You know, I'm written it down because I got this anxiety about writing, but I do write sometimes. You know, I write poetry, songs. You know, because it's the Los Angeles meeting, I wrote a poem and song and you know and
You
art.
write your
So thank
poetry?
you. Yeah, I do. Yeah. I'll read it one day again. Yeah, thank you very much for hosting Dan and co-host and Veronica for your share. Yeah, long time no see. Good to hear from you again. It just so happened I'm always not free on this time. I come in today for it and just happened. Thank you, everyone. Hi,
Oh,
Don.
we need you.
Yeah.
Come on back when you can.
Yeah.
It's good to hear you. All right. Okay, anybody else? Thank you. Thank you, Veronica. Beautiful, beautiful.